Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. Super Saturday is upon us, and once again it is Scotland versus Italy in the early kickoff. Can Scotland bounce back from back-to-back losses at Murrayfield against Wales and Ireland? You would bloody hope so. But to preview the game, of course, and talk about what has been a very surprising and spicy team selection, I'm with Matt and Alan. Alan's logged into our software tonight as Big Al, I think in tribute to Big Al Kellogg's move to MD at Glasgow Warriors. So Big Al, how are you doing tonight?
It was actually in honour of Al Strokosh, the main man.
Good. The other Big Al in our Scottish rugby life.
The other Big Al. The funny thing is actually me and Matt also know another Big Al. But anyway, that's a different story. And I'm talking of actually one other Big Al, Alan Gilpin. World Rugby and Rugby World Cup tickets, that has been sort of the bane of my life this week. Literally spent hours on Monday and today trying to secure bloody Scotland pack for the Rugby World Cup. And I've genuinely been, today I was in the queue for an hour and a half. I went from 0% to 97%. And then it was basically like, press this to move forward. And I pressed it. And then I went back to 0%. And I was like, this is genuinely the worst moment of my entire life. So I just sort of gave up at that point. So.
I think Alan Gilpin's just like built this in, that if you're buying the Scotland pack, you have like a terrible user experience. It all tracks back to Haggabus and Mark Dodson's interview on the Today programme slagging off World Rugby. But Matt, how are you doing? Big Matt?
Yeah, not too bad. You'd think with the ticketing stuff that clearly Monday when it opened to a lot of excitement, it was an utter shit show. And you'd think that by today, they would have maybe got their ducks in the row. But if anything, it's probably worse. It is an absolute disgrace. It's so bad. But, you know, the most important thing is Saturday. Get the Scotland game out of the way and then enjoy the rugby for what it is.
Well, it's going to be an extremely interesting game. We'll obviously come on to talk about the team named by Gregor Townsend shortly. But before we do that, just a quick reminder of where you can keep in touch with us. That's on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod, and in the mailbag, thethistlerugby@gmail.com. I got a great email this week. It didn't actually come, the sender's name wasn't entirely clear. The subject line was silver lining, and the content of the email was, please find one. So I just think that's the sort of existential crisis that Scottish rugby fans have been in since the Ireland game. One last bit of parish news, and that is, of course, to mention our fantastic sponsors throughout the Six Nations period. That's Rob Mack, Independent Financial Planning and Mortgage Management. We've got two more games with the guys, and hopefully it will continue to be a fantastic partnership and bring two more wins for Scotland. They are an independent financial advisor specializing in mortgage management, financial planning and investments. So if you need any of those services, please check them out at robmack.co.uk. So, other than Alan Gilpin becoming the head man at World Rugby, two bits of news, including one bit of breaking news, that Scotland versus France has finally been confirmed for next Friday night. So it's going to be another 6-day turnaround for the Scotland squad after the Italy game on Saturday. And Paris, I think France has actually just gone back into a coronavirus lockdown. So who knows if we'll ever actually get to play that game, but... Big Al, happy to finally have that in the diary, and it's good that it's sort of close to the tournament rather than, you know, stretched out into the summer.
Yeah, I mean, I think actually, so Paris is now specifically going into a month lockdown as of Friday.
So waffles all round if you're in the French squad, but anyone else isn't allowed out.
Just a huge house party back at Finn's pad. Quite sweet, to be fair. Good to get it done. It's it could end up being a game with something on it if France beat Wales and don't allow Wales to get a losing bonus point.
Yeah,
which could make it sort of a bit tasty. But yeah, no, good to get it done now. There's nothing worse than just sort of having to wait and just shove the fixture into like the summer sort of autumn internationals.
Absolutely. It does mean that we had pledged to host a live pod in Paris if it was going to be happening this summer in the old Alliance in Paris, but we'll probably just have to roll that in to a couple years' time Six Nations event. The other piece of news before we get into the Scotland Italy preview is that Edinburgh Rugby announced the signing this week of 24-year-old Scots qualified Ulster hooker Adam McBurney. Qualifies for Scotland through a grandmother from Cadder in Lancashire, having previously represented Ireland from under-18s to under-20s level. Matt, I believe before the pod, I asked you if you'd heard of him and you had no idea. Have you got anything else to say on this signing?
Well, as you were talking there, I actually did a very quick Google of him, and I have actually found out two quite interesting things. Firstly, apparently... Andrew Trimble was interviewed about sort of young guys and old guys in rugby squads coming together and whether it's quite old school in terms of integrating people. And he said that it's a lot calmer than it used to be for like a younger guy coming into the squad. But apparently Adam McBurney was in some kind of training session with Johnny Sexton. Apparently, he pulled Sexton's jersey over his head and then planted one on his chin.
No wonder Cockers wants to sign him. He's a really aggressive bloke.
Exactly. So, you know, that's quite a good story. The other thing was that as of November 2020, he has played 36 times for Ulster and he has started once.
Really?
Ooh.
So that's good. I just think this is like, I understand he's young, he's Scots qualified. Like, I'd almost rather have him than someone like Mike Willemser, whose signing I never really quite understood and who is now leaving the club. But I don't know, someone like Cammy Fenton not having his contract renewed, I think he's just as good as Willemser, presumably as good as this guy as well. I don't know, it just kind of looks not great that Edinburgh have once again looked outside the Scottish system for a new signing.
It is a little bit disappointing, but always pleasing to take someone off Johnny Petrie over at Ulster. Although maybe Johnny was happy to get rid of him. But Richard Cockerell said of young McBurney, He's a good fit for us, and Mike leaving slots well into our stable of hookers at the club. He'll bring a lot of energy, a bit of edge, and is a hard worker, which really feels like a template response that could have been applied to quite literally any signing ever. But we will certainly see. I hope he goes well, Adam McBurney, joining Edinburgh at the end of the season.
The only other bit of Edinburgh news, which we mentioned in the newsletter this week and is being picked up again as of today, is Richard Cockerell being lined up for the Clermont job. Because I didn't realize that the current coach, Frank Azema, is going to Montpellier next season. And it seems like there's a short list of Cockerell, John O'Gibbs from La Rochelle, Yannick Brew and Jeremy Davidson, who's at Brive. You think that Cockerell would have quite a good chance ahead of those guys?
I suppose it depends if he wants it or not.
I would want the Clermont job ahead of the Edinburgh job.
And he can speak French, right?
He's played there before.
And he's played at Clermont.
Play at Clermont. It is I think on balance, it's probably a bigger job than Edinburgh.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty sweet gig. It's sort of like, you know, actually, when you look over, what is it now, 4 years, Edinburgh have sort of had a little kind of lift, but if anything, have sort of stayed relatively static in terms of their position now within the Pro 14. So it's a pretty sweet upgrade. It's not sort of succeeding or failing. It's sort of just staying the same but going upwards.
I think that's harsh. Like, apart from this season, Edinburgh have been really good under Cockerell. Like, had that really good Champions Cup run.
That's true.
Got close to the Pro 14 final. I don't know what his win record would be, but I reckon it would be probably the best of an Edinburgh coach ever.
Paid to win knockout games, man.
No, I mean, I agree. But to be fair, that when he took over Edinburgh, like when they had that old terrible kit, like we were a perennial joke.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean,
to be fair, the black and sort of dark red kit really mirrored the lowest point in Edinburgh rugby. It was like the worst kit with the worst team with the worst coach.
It was like new signings announced by Edinburgh, and it was like that junior Rasalea guy in the centre from the Western Force. And
I remember junior Rasalea.
Like Will Helu on the wing. It was like, what is... And then we signed Robbie Fruin for a bit as well. It's like, what is going on here?
Robbie Fruin did score one really sweet try for Edinburgh under the sticks on the hallowed turf at Mareside.
I remember that. That's when everyone was like... The signing of the century. Fruin's going to tear it up for Edinburgh. And then...
Never played again.
Pretty much never played again.
The last known of Junior Rasselet was he was at Grenoble. Not sure if he's still there, though.
Are they Pro D2?
Might be top.
I'm not sure. They sort of flick between top 14 and Pro D2. But yeah, and then we're talking Pro D2, the big Scotland clash... In Pro D2 this weekend, Oyono versus Van, Andy Craven versus Josh Strauss, which I hadn't actually realized. I actually only went onto Oyono's Instagram to see if Luke Hamilton was playing and then spotted Jay Strauss at number 8. And I was like, oh, shit. There he is.
Yeah, I'd kind of forgotten about Josh Strauss. And was Andy Craven the one who was at Toulon for a while?
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember when we were in Toulon, we were asking people about Andy Crammond, and all the French lads were like, I've got literally no idea who that is.
Well, yeah, I remember we were in that that little kind of bar, and I was also asking them about Rory Lamont, and they were literally like, mate, Rory Lamont, who the fuck is that guy? He's rubbish.
Yeah.
And then I remembered on Wikipedia, we'd asked them about, there was a guy called Philip Fitzgerald.
Yes, yes. Phil Fitzgerald.
Who was a Sony Bums legend from the 90s who played for Toulon for about 10 years. And we said Philip Fitzgerald's name and they all lost their minds.
Absolutely loved him.
Yeah, because he supposedly still lives out there as well.
Yeah.
He was one of the OGs when Toulon were like scrabbling around in Pro D2.
Yeah.
We should speak to Phil Fitzgerald.
You know, 100%. We should probably also get onto the actual topic that of the day.
We should probably talk about that. We've done 13 minutes on general news and nonsense, which is what people come to us for. But we will now turn our attention to Scotland welcoming Italy to Murrayfield on Saturday, 2:15 kickoff. And Tooney, the tombola is well and truly been rolled out today. I will run through the team now with some very interesting talking points. In the front row, Rory Sutherland, Dave Cherry and Xander Fagerson returning from his ban. Second row, Sam Skinner and Grant Gilchrist. In the back row, Jamie Ritchie, Hamish Watson and Matt Fagerson. Halfback partnership, hold on to your hats, Scott Steele and Stuart Hogg at 10. In the centres, Sam Johnson and Hugh Jones. And in the back three of Doohan, Darcy and Sean Maitland. There is only really one place for us to start on that. And Matt, I'll come to you first. Hogg at 10. What did you think when we first picked up that rumor about 9 o'clock this morning? I think we all agreed it must be, our information must be bad, but Hoggy's starting at 10 for Scotland. What do you think?
Sorry, I thought you were going to mention the fact that Scotland have picked a back row at scrum half.
I thought that that joke was sold. It was out of copyright, but yeah, it is. Yeah.
Give it strength. Hoggy. Yeah, I was sort of, it was one of those ones when we got told it, wanted to be in front of the story, but also it was so wild that we could have been hugely wrong. It is wild. And I think that there was maybe some chat that Yako was carrying an injury. So that was maybe my first reaction. Okay, well, there's literally no one else at the moment, apart from going to like Ross Thompson. But then you see Jakob van der Vaart on the bench. I'm like, right, okay, this is a genuine playing decision.
Yeah,
and it's like, what's it saying exactly is, you know, Jakob is fit. He is Scotland's number 3 10. He's Edinburgh's starting 10. And Tooney is saying that Jakob, having played 10 for his whole professional career, is a lower quality option than Stuart Hogg, a player who hasn't started a game at 10 for over 6 years.
and the other thing is that I'd maybe understand it more if Yako had never played for Scotland before and had maybe had one season at Edinburgh where people were unsure about him. But that game that he played against Ireland in the Six Nations last year, he was pretty good, I thought. He was better than a lot of people expected. So a theory that I was sort of testing today was whether this is Hogg trying to take responsibility for the team to right the ship himself, and he thinks that he can have more influence from 10 than fullback. And we've seen it before when he sort of went to Townsend and said, I want to be captain, make me the captain. And Townsend said yes. I don't know if there's maybe an element of that.
I think you've got to think that this is exclusively Tooney's selection. And, like, you know, ultimately, whilst obviously I'm sure Hogg has a say and an influence, you know, Tooney has to sign off, and clearly he's decided that it's the better option. And, maybe he'll be proved right. I know we sort of said, well, Hogg's done, he started twice for the Lions on the tour of Australia. He's played at least one game for Glasgow, sort of away to Benetton, sort of 6 years ago. And then he stepped in, obviously, against England and in this Six Nations and
Wales last year.
And Wales last year. It just feels a bit strange. And I think, I don't know, the moment I sort of heard it is I almost felt like we weren't giving Italy enough credit. You know, I appreciate Italy aren't a great side, but they're not like completely terrible. And my fear is that we're going to end up in a bit of a dogfight, and Hogg's just not going to be able to kind of control the game slash steer that ship from a position that he literally isn't, he hasn't had a lot of game time in.
How's this for narrative? Italy haven't won a game since 2015 in the Six Nations at Murrayfield. Scotland have lost two consecutive home games. Italy haven't won a single game. This Six Nations have been thrashed by everyone. Russell missing, Gray missing, and now Hogg steps in at standoff to welcome the visiting Italians. That's got an Italy win written all over it.
But the thing is, it does. We're obviously still massive favourites, but I think with what's happened to that Scotland team, and you know, it being the final game, I think Italy will be really well. Their hopes will have been lifted by
massively,
and it gives the Italian coaching team and the sort of leadership a lot of things to go at in terms of motivating those players pre-match.
I mean, I suppose the first 20 minutes, you think obviously the 10's always going to come under pressure, but this is a 10 that is not a 10. I mean, Stuart Hogg is a world-class rugby player, but he's not a fly half. So, I mean, like, even the sort of not amazing Italian pack, but they're going to be told to go out and get in Stuart Hogg's face. And, you know, he's pretty used to playing his rugby at fullback, quite a long way from the front lines. And you just wonder, you know, could they... Is there an opportunity to get in his head really early doors, and how will he respond to that? He actually gives some quotes to Mark Palmer, talking about, you know, how he's been covering 10, and basically said, I can't do anything that Finn does, so I'm not even going to try. And he says that there have been some serious squeaky bum moments when he has been playing 10. I mean... I guess a question is, who's a better 10? Who's a better standoff? Stuart Hogg or Garabisi for Italy? And is Jaco van der Bol better than Garabisi? So therefore, have we kind of, to try and get Hoggy on the pitch, have we lessened ourselves in two positions, I suppose?
I mean, the one thing about Garabisi is he's actually only played like three times for Benetton. Like, I think it's like Ross Thompson's actually played, and Nathan Chamberlain have now actually played more games respectively for Glasgow and Edinburgh. Like, Garabisi has played more games for Italy than he has for Benetton. So it's a bit of a harsh comparison. But look, I generally think if I was Jacko, if I'm not injured. And, you know, looking at Project Play from the other side, and he's like committed to Scotland. He's signed his contract extension. He's, you know, capped himself for Scotland. Mm. You know, he's seeing Hastings and Finn go out, and he is like, this is my chance against Italy as well. You know, it's not like we're chucking him in against England away. This is Italy at home. Like, he's like, this is the perfect game for me to try and like make a statement with France then coming up. And to see Hogg, someone who doesn't play 10, usurp you, I just feel like for him personally, it must be a really sort of significant blow. And just to sort of see, oh, that's where I am in this pecking order within the sort of Scotland setup.
I suppose with Hogg, he has the whole skill set. Like, we know he's got a great boot, he's a great passer, he can make a break. He is pretty good at putting people into space. But I think that he will look very good as a first or second distributor in training and even in matches when he comes in either filling in at 10 or as that second distributor at the back. But I think that the control element that you need in any match, and I almost think particularly against Italy, who will want to, as you were saying, like target him, make it an absolute scrap, get sort of that doubt into Scottish players' minds. That's the thing that worries me, that he isn't able to direct his forwards around the pitch. His tactical kicking from 10 is unproven. He starts to come under pressure, and we know what he's like. He can force things as well.
Well, and he's also going to be joined, I suppose it doesn't matter who his halfback partner is, but Ali Price has dropped to the bench, the incumbent in the Scotland 9 jersey, to be replaced by Scott Steele at scrum half. I mean, obviously, Hogg is the big news, but that is equally significant, Alan, isn't it? That Scott Steele is being picked ahead of Ali Price. Do you think that is, I suppose, giving him the opportunity he possibly deserves, having sat on the bench and done his time and look after Ali Price for next weekend? Or do you think that's another sort of another big risk that Tooney's taking this weekend?
Yeah, so I think Gary Heatley was saying today, he was like, if someone had told you like 6 months ago that the starting 9-10 combo in the Six Nations would be Scott Steele and Stuart Hogg, you'd literally like laugh them out of the room, right?
Yeah.
Feels like it's very strange that this is kind of the combination that we're sort of settled on now halfway through. We've now settled on halfway through the tournament.
6 months ago, Scott Steele didn't have a club.
Yeah, and Sam Hidalgo-Klein was winning the European Cup. Like, what the hell's going on? it's such a strange one. And, you know, I guess looking at the two people that feel like, especially from the Ireland game, that have come in for some criticism, George Turner and Ali Price, and you know, obviously they've now been shipped out for Dave Cherry and Scott Steele, and I think ultimately I'm sure it'll be communicated as, you know, it's, you know, we're able to rotate because we've got strength in the squad, but it does feel a little bit like they are being dropped because of that level of performance that they put out on the pitch last week.
I can understand Turner. Do you think if that is the reason that Price is being dropped in his performance from last weekend, do you think that's fair?
I would have thought personally that Price had enough credit in the bank given his sort of performances over the last 12 months. And I know he had that kick at the end of the Wales game, but I actually thought in general, and he had a charge down against Itoje, but I do think across the autumn internationals and or across most of the Six Nations, he's been pretty strong. I also think if you're bringing Stuart Hogg in at 10, do you not want your most experienced nine?
Exactly. Who can 100%. Be like, right, if Hoggy's having a disaster, like kicking-wise, Price is like, okay, mate, you're not getting it. I'm booting it now. Like, I'm taking control. It's...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I can understand maybe Steele coming in. But to combine him with Hogg, it's... I don't know, it does just seem a bit crazy.
And hopefully we're wrong, right?
But yeah, I mean, hopefully we're wrong.
There's a lot of just things like, the thing is, you know, we're obviously taking Harris out as well, and we're bringing Jones in, which is great from an attacking standpoint. But again, it's just changing that dynamic of that team. And again, bringing, you know, putting Maitland at fullback, we know he can do a job at fullback, but he's not a fullback, right? He is, Maitland's a winger. And again, it's just the sort of nature of the back line is in one way sort of really exciting because it's got a lot, you know, it's a lot of star like attacking threat in that team. But at the same time, again, I just keep going back. I've just got this vision of us just like panicking and chucking balls and things getting intercepted and us then somehow ending up being sort of 10 points down against this Italy team and Hogg struggling to kind of grapple with the kind of game management side. God, I'm getting anxious. I mean, already
we're working ourselves up into a bit of a froth. The other changes that you talked about there, Hugh Jones back in a 13 jersey for Scotland, partnering Sam Johnson. That is, you know, that's a very exciting partnership, and one we've been I suppose the return to Jones at 13 is something we've been calling for a little bit. all of these things seem to be adding up. Do you think Tooney's looked at Italy's performances and been like, you know, we can afford to take these sorts of risks and still get a result? And that risk with Jones being, you know, defensively, he's not perhaps as competent as Harris?
The thing about that, though, is it's not as if Italy have this incredible defense that no one has been able to break. Like, yeah. They've conceded 40 points in every game. And you know what? If you think back to the last couple of times that we played against Italy where Harris has been at 13, like, he's had a pretty good day with the ball in hand by just running straight because Scotland are on the front foot. He scored that try in Rome. So on the one hand, I like the selection because we know what Hugh Jones can do. He showed in that try against Ireland. But at the same time, I think almost, I just don't quite understand why suddenly now Harris has been jettisoned.
I suppose that maybe there's also the other consideration is there is going to be that 6-day turnaround. And, you know, Harris gets a bench, Price gets a bench. You know, these guys that we would expect to start in Paris a week on Friday. So maybe they are just having to juggle that because there is one extra game. But you do worry that maybe so much change is going to make us struggle this weekend in a game that there is still a chance for us to finish second in the Six Nations if we return a couple of wins, which would be a fantastic result. Other changes, Dave Cherry coming in at 2, I think, after George Turner in the lineout last weekend. That feels, you know, like a kind of a fair result. Not that all of the lineout problems can be laid at George Turner's door, but I suppose, again, Dave Cherry, he's done all right, but are you happy with that choice, or would you have stuck with Turner, Alan?
I think we said at the start of the tournament that Turner has sort of historically not had the greatest of arrows, and obviously we had to eat some humble pie after the England game. But I think you've sort of seen in the Wales game there was a few issues, then obviously it really failed to fire against Ireland. Although I think there was a couple of times where it was more the lifter or just Gray getting kind of outcompeted on a one-on-one rather than Turner making the mistake. So I'm a bit surprised. Like, I do like Dave Cherry, but I think just around the park, George Turner just brings such a significant presence that, and I think in terms of his performance, it's of such a much higher quality that I thought Turner would retain that 2 shirt.
So, I also think over the if you think about the bigger picture, Dave Cherry is in, done very well at Edinburgh, deserved a shot 100%, but he is in because Rambo and Fraser Brown are injured.
Yeah.
Whereas George Turner is highly likely to get into a Scotland squad as that third hooker, possibly pushing for a spot on the bench. And I think it's just a bit funny to, you know, look, it could be rotation. Like, Mike Blair was talking about it this week, that Italy was always marked as a time they were going to change people. But if it is the case that they've said to him, your hours weren't good enough at the weekend, you're dropped. I don't know, I just don't think it builds much continuity. And I almost think that as a hooker, one of the things that you need most is consistency of selection. It's time to get your hours right. So I find it a bit strange.
Well, I suppose consistency of selection at line-out time is something that Townsend and co. were not afforded this weekend. All change in the second row with injuries to Scott Cummings and Johnny Gray being replaced by Grant Gilchrist and Sam Skinner, informed Sam Skinner, coming back in. How are you feeling about that combination in the second row, both with bags of experience? I suppose Cummings and Gray have established themselves as our number one sort of pairing, but this can't be far away from, you know, our number two, and they're not too far away from that starting berth anyway, Alan.
It feels sort of potentially like the area of the pitch where there's the least amount of drop off once you kind of there's injuries to that front, the kind of starting members of the team. So I think we've been calling for Sam Skinner, who said ultimately if he's starting for Exeter, he's probably good enough to start for Scotland, right? And I think I don't see him bringing a lower level performance versus what Cummings and Gray are. I think Grant Gilchrist, I personally think he struggles against the really high quality teams, but I think against Italy he'll be able to do a job. And the general sense you get, and I don't know this for a fact, is that Grant Gilchrist is like a very good line-out operator. And so should sort of help with sort of securing a lot of kind of just securing that set piece ball, right?
I think it's maybe the combination with Cherry as well, that you want to get some club combinations going at the set piece, given what happened last week.
It's exactly the sort of the game that you'd usually see Big Ben Toulis coming in for. But yeah. He's no longer in the squad, unfortunately. But there is somebody who's looking like they will get their debut for Scotland this weekend, Gloucester's Alex Craig. He's been in quite a lot of Townsend squads over the last couple of years, but this is the first time he's made a match day. Matt, are you excited to see him actually getting his first cap eventually?
To be honest, I haven't seen him play that much. But, you know, he's a good Dumfries lad. So it's always nice to see. It'll be interesting. As I say, I haven't seen him really play, so it'll be interesting to see if he can make any kind of impact. I mean, Gloucester haven't really done that well in the Prem in the last couple of years, but for a guy to go through that Hartbury and then Gloucester route, where they sort of pride themselves, I suppose, on developing forwards, like, he's got to have something about him.
Absolutely. And the other, I suppose, big talking point on the bench is in our sweet spot and our strong suit, the front row. Jamie Batty picked on the bench, but it's quite clear that Ollie Kebble, who's been sort of in and around that Scotland squad for the last 6 months, is also fit and firing. Alan, what do you think of the sort of the Batty versus Kebble choice, and who would you have on that bench?
I don't really want to give too much of an opinion, because as we'll always say, none of us really understand the intricacies
yes.
of scrum and what the props are bringing. You know, from a very sort of, you know, amateur view, I always think that Kebble seems to bring a bit more in the loose. I don't know if that's just because he's a bit bigger and he's South African, so you just sort of like have this like ingrained stereotype. But it does feel like he brings just that little bit more. But I do wonder whether Batty just brings a bit more of a higher work rate off the bench versus Kebble. I think, you know, Kebble can be a bit lazy sometimes. But no, look, it's I don't think it's that big an issue between the two of them.
I think there's maybe a sense of Batty being a slightly better scrummager than Kebble. I think if you're going to pick Batty for one strength, it would be his scrummaging. And I think there are worries around Simon Bergen, not in the loose, but in the tight at scrum time. So maybe it's just someone who can come on and really just solidify the scrum.
Well, we'll certainly see that. And hopefully by the time Jamie Batty is entering the fray, Scotland will be home and dry. After a Stuart Hogg hat-trick, the back replacements, Ali Price, Jakob van der Vaal and Chris Harris, we have already touched upon. Lads, let's level with our listeners, though. Alan, we should be beating Italy comfortably this weekend, right?
So I have a confession to make.
Go on, then.
I've placed a couple of bets down already on this match.
Alan, wow. Alan's long shot is coming in hot. Go on, then, hit us with it.
Like, I'm a man of value, right? I've got to put my personal preferences aside when it comes to the bookies, and I've put two bets down. I put one on Italy to beat the spread, which is 28 points.
28. So, they're backing Scotland by 28.
Yes, the bookies have.
Oh my god!
So I put quite a bit of money on Italy to beat the spread.
What odds did you get on that?
So that's evens. So that's
okay.
Evens. So if Italy don't either win or lose within 28, get your money back. And then I've also put money on Italy to win.
Oh my god!
At 17 to 1.
Oh,
which I thought, given the history of the matches and what's happened with the Scotland team, that feels like pretty long odds, 17-1. So, yeah, like, if Italy win, obviously I'm gutted about it, but at the same time, it's like not the end of the world. So, it's like Freya's trust fund. So, it's either Scotland win or Freya goes to uni. So,
yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I might put some of my Dogecoin gains on that bet, actually.
Yeah.
So that's the way to make your fortune in life, crypto and Six Nations bet.
This is us just sort of testing the water before we release Thistle Coin.
Yeah, exactly. And we can control the value through our tweets.
Yeah. But no, I still think Scotland are going to win, but I think it's going to be a bit of a grind for the first 55, 60 minutes. And what will probably happen is Jacko will like come on at 10, Hogg will go back, and we'll sort of pull away, and everyone will be like, what the hell are we doing? And I think Scotland will win by about sort of 14 points in the end.
That sounds about right to me, and I might get in on that. I can't believe the spread is 28 points. Maybe I'm still reeling from the team selection, but Matt, what do you think? Scotland by 27?
I think we'd all be very happy if that was the result. I think it'll be closer than that. I still do think you look across that Scotland team and the amount of talent that's in there, regardless of Hogg starring at 10, you've got threats all through the back line. You've got Sutherland, Fagerson back, Skinner, who we've been wanting to play for a while, and our first choice back row. Like, if we lose this game, it's Tooney out, Allen in.
I mean, I completely agree with that, particularly your point about the threats in the back line. If we can get to a stage where the game is breaking up a little bit and you're getting the ball in Hogg's hands, Doohan's hands, Jones, Graham, like, unbelievable game breakers. Like, we should be able to, you know, rack up lots of points. But I completely agree. Do you think Townsend survives losing this game?
I think potentially not.
Do you not think just with COVID and then that England, the first win at Twickenham in, what, 30-something years, that's got to give him a bit of protection. You've got to give him at least the Romania game. Let him... If he loses in Bucharest, it's done, all right?
we draw a line in Bucharest.
I could see him. I don't think they're going to get rid of him. But if they do lose, like, this will be seen as, you know, the beginning of the end for him, I think.
If they lose Italy and France, I reckon what you do is you call Scott Robertson and you say, are you available? If he says yes, you sack Tooney immediately. If he doesn't say yes, you just keep Tooney into the World Cup. Because there isn't really that many people available.
Yeah.
But obviously, if Scott Robertson was available, then you get rid of him.
You just put, and then until for the next World Cup cycle, you just have like Hogg at 10, Russell at 12, maybe put like Hastings at fullback or something. You just go
like the idea that we've ended up with Hogg at 10 and Hastings at fullback.
You just go, but you go like full, like meme stock, you know, like concept rugby and just go for it.
What do those words even mean? Meme stock rugby.
Meme stock concept rugby.
Love it.
That does sound good indeed. Yeah. Well,
do we will do quiz?
I was going to ask you if you had a quiz to finish us off, Alan. That would be lovely. Yeah.
I've still got the quiz that we were going to finish last week, unless we've got ramen coming again.
I actually ate beforehand. Didn't have no ramen Thursdays today.
No ramen. That's fair. Let me see if I can find this. I've got it on a.
So what were they? Fullback and
the remaining two categories. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got it here somewhere.
While Alan is looking for the the quiz thing, I might as well just say you can of course give us reviews, and we love to read them on Apple Podcasts. So please do get on there and leave us a 5-star review. And also subscribe to our newsletter, Substack, Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. That'll be dropping on Monday morning next week with all the sort of reaction from the Scotland game. So, yeah. Alan, have you found your quiz?
I have. So yes, 15 and 12. So obviously now, and I've included actually now last week's game.
So can you remind everybody the concept?
So since Tooney was brought on as coach, he's actually been in charge of 43 games.
Okay.
And in that time, and I'll give you actually the numbers, there has been six fullbacks, and there has been eight players starting at inside centre for Scotland. So let's start with the fullbacks. And this is obviously, as a fullback, it's massively indexed towards one, maybe two players. But there is six people that have started at fullback for Scotland under Tooney's regime. Dave, do you want to kick us off?
Stuart Hogg.
Hogg, 30 of the 43.
Sean Maitland.
Yeah, actually only two of those. He's only been two. Once against Australia in 2017, although I think, and then once against England.
How about Greek Tonks?
Well, yes, I was about to give it away for a second, yes, Sean Maitland started at fullback in the home game against Australia in 2017, and Greek Tonks started at fullback in the away win against Australia.
Because Hoggy went down injured in the warm up at the Australia home game.
Oh yes, yeah. Oh yeah, he did, didn't he? Because then what? Brian McGuigan came in on the wing.
Brian McGuigan came in on the wing for his debut. I was at the game. I remember being at Murrayfield whenever the whispers started that Hoggy had pulled out. And I was in the queue waiting to pay in cash at Murrayfield in those dark days. And that news hit and I was like, we're going to get pumped. And then obviously we went on to absolutely hose them. Yeah.
Matt, what have you got?
Blair Kinghorn.
Blair Kinghorn has eight.
Eight stars.
Two more, both with one start each, and the starts were in 2017.
Rue Jackson?
Oh, yes, mate.
Nice.
The loss to Fiji away in 2017 was Rue Jackson's. It was Pete Horn at 10 and Rue Jackson at 15, and we lost.
Oh God.
Imagine lining up in that team and looking at it. It's like, oh, we're absolutely fucked.
And then one more fullback.
Can I ask a question on this? Is this an answer for both 15 and 12?
Yes.
Okay. Is it Duncan Taylor?
It is Duncan Taylor. What an absolute great.
That is a great shout.
So it looks like in that summer tour, obviously, when Hogg was with the Lions against Italy and Singapore, Duncan Taylor started fullback. Tonks started fullback against Australia, and then Rui Jackson started fullback against Fiji.
Why?
Well, there you go.
And then, I guess...
So we can rule out Duncan Taylor then for the center answer.
Yeah. Well, so I was going to start with Matt this time, so we'll give you Duncan Taylor for 12. So we've got eight.
I'll take Alex Dunbar.
Yeah, so Dunbar... When I started doing this, I was like, ah, shit. I was like, Dunbar's got quite a lot. And then you realize that he's actually only got three. And it was literally like Tooney's first three games. Mm. He had Dunbar at 12, and then he's like never got a sniff in afterwards.
Pete Horn.
So two players are in double figures. Pete Horn is one of them on 12.
Sam Johnson.
And Sam Johnson is the other double figures, the most of any player on 16.
James Lang.
Oh, yes. Langers.
James Lang has four starts at 12.
Hugh Jones.
No. Hugh Jones has had zero starts at 12 under, or has he?
Wait, what?
He started that Wales game.
Yeah, in Cardiff.
It was Jones and Harris.
Was it?
Yes.
Stitch.
I've got Jones for that game.
Wikipedia let you down.
I think it's just me generally has let myself down. To be honest.
I mean, that's definitely right. I'm very rarely, completely confident on something, but I'm pretty sure that's right.
Yeah, no, I'm going to shut my mouth. So there's nine. Hugh Jones is one. The moment you said it, I knew I was.
That was the last name I have written down there. So I'm now flailing a little bit.
Six all. There's three names out there. They've all started one match.
One match.
And these are all 100% correct.
Okay. It's on Matt, isn't it?
It's on you, Matt. Yeah. 5 second countdown.
I've got one written down. Matt Scott?
No. Hasn't started at 12. Yeah.
Knew that was wrong.
What about Nick Grigg?
Nick Grigg has one star.
Yeah,
is that against Argentina?
It's against Italy in 2018.
Yes, Grigg.
Nick Grigg.
What was he doing? What was he doing playing at 12?
Matt, anything else?
Give us any kind of clue.
I think one of them you should 100% get. You should actually 100% get both of these. You'll absolutely kick yourself.
We do run a Scottish rugby podcast that has been running the whole time that these people have played.
One was in the last 12 months, and the other one got everyone very excited.
Oh, Cam Redpath.
Is one. And then there's the what? So that's the one in the last 12 months, and there was one that got everyone really excited.
I mean, Cam Redpath got everyone really excited.
Yeah.
Got everyone really excited.
Because he doesn't normally play 12.
What? Yeah, but what?
This is the shootout, by the way. It's 7-all.
Fuck, it's Finn Russell.
It is Finn Russell.
Hastings at 10, Finn at 12.
Did he start that game?
Yes.
Who was that against?
Argentina.
Was it Georgia? Argentina or was it Samoa? Anyway, doesn't matter. It happened.
Doesn't matter because I've won a quiz.
Fair enough. Which, good answers.
I don't know if that bodes well for Scotland or badly for Scotland at the weekend.
I think it's just another sign to get your money on Betfair. And
I think Italy beating the spread is that's printing your own money territory.
Yeah.
100%. I do not have confidence that Scotland are winning by 28 points or more.
Interestingly, when Hastings played 10 and Russell played 12, I can't actually remember this match, but the Tom English headline is Maitland try seals turgid win 14-9 against Argentina at home. So,
do you remember? I think it was the week before against Fiji when Hastings came on and then Russell moved to 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they did that like sweet little interplay for Hastings to score. And everyone's like, this is the future. Yeah.
I remember that game. Is that Seymour got a hat trick? We
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We dealt with Fiji fairly comfortably, I think.
Okay.
Anyway.
Oh well.
Anyway, well thanks very much for that, Anne. Lovely to get always nice to get a win. I'm very, very happy about that. And hopefully Scotland will be returning with a win this Saturday at lunchtime. We'll obviously be back next week to preview the bonus game, the bonus feature of Friday Night Lights against France in Paris. So we'll be back. I imagine that team will be announced on Wednesday. So we'll probably do a podcast on Wednesday, but keep an eye on our socials. That's Twitter at Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. And we will let you know. Also follow us on Instagram, thistle_rugby_pod. And as I say, sign up to the newsletter. That's on Substack, Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. It's available on our social channels as well. And we'll be doing a newsletter on Monday morning, wrapping up everything from the weekend. But until then, get your money on Italy to beat the spread, but Scotland to win. It'll be a good one. Cheers.
Cheers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.